In lesson number 7, we will deal with what is the principle of life within the church, which is called the principle of life of any living being is called the soul. It is from the soul that all the activities of a living being flow. So it is this lesson is entitled The Soul of the Church. It is in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is clear from the Scriptures that the Church is the body of Christ in this world. Since the Church is the body of Christ, we may ask, what is the soul of the Church? The soul animating the body defines what a thing can be and do. The bird flies, the fish swims, and man thinks because of his unique soul. By discovering the soul of the Church, we can determine the powers residing in the body of Christ on this earth. For it's from these powers, from the source, that these powers will flow. The Holy Scriptures confirm that there exists a special relationship between the Church and the Holy Spirit. St. Paul sees the Church as a temple being constructed in order to house the Holy Spirit. You, he says, are being built into this temple to become a dwelling place for God in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22. Paul asked the Corinthians, do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. What are the effects of the Holy Spirit dwelling in the Christian community? The first effect is unity in diversity. The Holy Spirit makes the many one. The body is one and has many members, but all the members, many though they are one body. And so it is with Christ. It was in the one Spirit that all of us were baptized into the one body. All of us have been given to drink of the one Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 13. To the individual member of the Christian community, the Holy Spirit gives individual gifts for the building up of the temple of God. Paul says there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. There are different works, but the same God who accomplishes all of them in everyone. To each person, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 7. But it is one and the same Spirit who produces all these gifts, distributing them to each as he wills, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. St. Paul enumerates the following effects of the Holy Spirit within the Christian community. No one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Through the Spirit one receives faith. To one the Spirit gives wisdom in discourse. To another the power to express knowledge. By the same Spirit, another is given the gift of healing. To another, the power to distinguish one spirit from another. One receives the gift of tongues, another that of interpreting tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 through 10. The Holy Spirit is a source of divine love within the community. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us, Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Paul teaches the Galatians that the virtues of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faith, mildness, and chastity in the Christian community are fruits of the Holy Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The Holy Spirit leads the church to truth. When he comes, however, being the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth, John chapter 16, verse 13. The Holy Spirit effects the forgiveness of sins in the church. Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you shall forgive are forgiven. John chapter 20, verse 22. Writing to Titus, Paul confesses that God saves individuals through the baptism of new birth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit he lavishes on us through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that we might be justified by His grace, become heirs in hope of eternal life. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. St. Paul teaches us that the ministries in the church flow from the operations of God's Holy Spirit. God has set up in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracle workers, healers, assistants, administrators, and those who speak in tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. From the midst of the community, the Holy Spirit calls forth shepherds to guide the church. Speaking at Miletus to the elders of Ephesus, Paul said, "Keep watch over yourselves and over the whole flock the Holy Spirit has given you to God. Shepherd the church of God." Acts 20, verse 28. The Holy Scriptures confirm that the Holy Spirit works through the shepherds of the church to guide the community. Peter says at the Council of Jerusalem, "It is the decision of the Holy Spirit and ours too, not to lay on you any further burden beyond that which is strictly necessary." Acts chapter 15, verse 28. Paul tells Timothy that the rich deposit of faith is guarded with the help of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. Lastly, the Scriptures confirm that our own resurrection from the dead is due and will be due to the presence of the Holy Spirit in our own spirits. We read, "He who raised Christ from the dead will bring your mortal bodies to life also through His Spirit dwelling in you." He says our mortal bodies, that's our physical bodies, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. With very rare exception, all the operations of the Holy Spirit are spoken of as being in the Christian community rather than in the individuals. The Holy Spirit is in the individual members only insofar as they are members of the Christian community. Even the gifts of the Holy Spirit given to individuals are given for the common good, for the Christian community, to build it up, to sustain it. The Scriptures make it very clear that there is no operation in the church that is not attributed to the Holy Spirit. With this overwhelming evidence, it is understandable why St. Irenaeus, who died around 202 AD, cried, "Where the church is, there is also the Spirit of God, and where the Spirit of God is, there is the church and all graces." It is understandable that the church declares the soul of the church to be the Holy Spirit. St. Augustine, born in 354 AD, compares the activities of the Holy Spirit in the church to the operations of the human soul in the human body. He says, "What the soul is for the body of man, that the Holy Spirit is for the body of Christ, that is, the church." The Holy Spirit operates in the whole church, that which the soul operates in the members of the one body. In the 13th century, St. Thomas Aquinas calls the Holy Spirit the heart of the church because he believed the heart to be the central organ out of which all life flows, all life power stream to the body. In the mind of Thomas, Jesus is the head of the church and the Holy Spirit is the heart. This teaching Pope Leo XIII confirmed in 1897 when he wrote, Christ is the head of the church, the Holy Spirit her soul. Pius XII taught the Holy Spirit to be the principle of being and life in the church. From these teachings we see that the Catholic Church is not just a congregation of men and women who share a common belief about Jesus Christ. It is not just another visible institution of people in this world, no more than Jesus Christ was just an ordinary man in this world. The Church is a unique and special organization created by God for the salvation of mankind. Just as the ark was necessary for the salvation of Noah and his family, so the church is a necessary means for the salvation of mankind. Why is this so? Because the Catholic Church is truly the presence of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit on this earth. This concludes Lesson 7. God bless you.